We're going to continue today with our study in the Ten Commandments. If you were here last week, we skipped commandment number four. We jumped ahead to number five. We looked at honor your mother and father. Today, we're going to go back to number four. So if you take your Bibles and open to Exodus chapter 20, we'll be looking at verses 8 through 11. And as we look at this commandment today, what I'd like to do is, number one, look at it in its original context. What did it mean for the people of Israel? Because this was, again, delivered to Moses for that covenant nation that God had established his covenant with Israel. And then secondly, how does it apply to you and I today as part of the body of Christ under the new covenant? Well, first off, let's read that. Exodus 20, verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Well, first off, what did this commandment mean for Israel? And today I'd like to look at really two main things that it meant. Number one, that it meant physical rest for them. And then number two, it meant spiritual renewal or spiritual refreshment as well. Well, first off, let's look at physical rest. I think many people, even today, know that this idea of Sabbath has to do with rest, doesn't it? You may find someone who may not have been in church for the past 30 years, or maybe they know very little of the Bible, but yet you will see them on a sunny Sunday afternoon sitting back in their lawn chair saying, "Hey, I ain't doing nothing today because it's a Sabbath day," right? They know that Sabbath has to do with rest. And certainly that is true. And when someone says that, how do you respond to that? You say, well, technically, the Sabbath was on Saturday. So you need to get off the lawn chair and get mowing the lawn, right? You need to get busy. No, just kidding. You don't need to say that. It's true that the original Sabbath for Israel was Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. That was that 24-hour period of rest that God had given them. But it's also true, very clear, that for Israel, rest was a huge part, physical rest, a huge part of this Sabbath day, this commandment number four. What's interesting is that we see this principle of the Sabbath day for Israel even before Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. We read earlier in the book of Exodus, some of you may remember this, where when God, through Moses, brought the people of Israel across the Red Sea. And remember, when they got to the other side, what did they find? Nothing, right? Not a whole lot. They were hungry and thirsty. And so they cried out for water, for food. And so God miraculously gave them some water from a rock. And he also gave them manna from heaven. And we saw that when God gave them manna, he gave them some special instructions about how to gather that manna, if you remember that. And this is what he said: "What I want you to do is gather enough manna for each day, just for that day." So let's say I had a family of seven. We're living in our tent. I would go out in the morning, maybe take Jordan or Josh or someone with me, and we would get enough food for seven people for the day. Not too much, not too little, just enough. Now, if you only had two people in your tent, you'd get enough for two people. Exactly what you need. If you got more than what you need and you said, "I'm going to keep a little for the next day," you'd wake up in the morning and there would be maggots in your manna. It would be no good. Another instruction that God gave was this: but on the sixth day, it was going to be different. First 5 days, you gather just enough for each day. On the sixth day, I want you to do this: gather twice as much as what you need, so that on the seventh day, you can rest. And you might think, well, wouldn't there be maggots? No, not on that particular day. The sixth day would be good. When it went over to the seventh day, no maggots. However, some people said, you know, I'm not going to do that. You know what? God always has that manna out there. On the sixth day, I'm not going to get the double portion stuff. I'm going to get up on the seventh day. I'm going to go out and get some manna. What do you think happened? Let's read about what happened. Exodus chapter 16. Let's look at that. Exodus 16, 27 through 30 says this. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, the manna. But they found what? None, nothing. There was nothing there. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. And so we see this command really before the quote, Ten Commandments. We may ask, why did God establish the Sabbath day for the people of Israel? If we know that God despises laziness, and all you have to do is read the Proverbs that are loaded with charges to be hardworking and industrious and don't be lazy, why would he give the people this day of rest? Why would he do that? And why would he give such harsh punishments for those who broke this command? Do you know what the penalty was for breaking this command? Take a guess. Death. Death. If you worked on the Sabbath day and people found out about it, you died. That's the severe punishment that came to this commandment. Numbers 15, you can read that for homework. There was a guy out gathering wood on the Sabbath day, and guess what happened? He got the death penalty. Poor guy just out, you know, he wanted to, you know, get some wood, burn a fire. I mean, man after my own heart, but he did it on the Sabbath day. He wasn't supposed to do it. So we may ask why. Well, one reason, I believe, why the Sabbath was so important for Israel was because the Sabbath was actually intended for their own good. How so? Because God knew them. God created them. He made them. And he knows that as people who have physical bodies, our bodies need physical rest. I believe that's a main reason why God did this. God knows what our bodies can do and can't do. He designed them. He knows that they can't go and go and go like the Energizer Bunny and never stop. And so he did this for their own benefit. And so we see in the Gospels that Jesus says this, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What was Jesus saying? God gave this Sabbath day for man, for the benefit of man, so you could rest and be revived and rejuvenated and refreshed. But is that all? Just a day to sit around and do nothing? No. There's also a spiritual aspect to this day. Number two is we want to look at the spiritual refreshment or renewal that should come or should have come for the people of Israel as they obeyed the Sabbath. When you think about it, if we're not working, that frees up a lot of time to do something else, doesn't it? And so for Israel, they could use that time that they weren't out gathering and doing different things. They could actually focus on God. And they could worship God. We see that worship was a big part of the Sabbath as well. I want you to look with me at Numbers chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. And here we read this. On the Sabbath day, make an offering of 2 lambs a year old without defect, together with its drink offering and a grain offering of 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath, in addition to the regular burnt offerings and its drink offering. Now, what's interesting about this passage is that in the prior 8 verses before this, God had given Israel commands on the daily sacrifices that were to happen. And this is what God said. Every day, I want you to take a male, a lamb without defect, and I want you to offer 1 in the morning and 1 at twilight. And I want you to give a grain offering and a drink offering. And that was to be done every day. And what he spells out here is that this was to happen on the Sabbath day as well. Why do you think he did that? Because as people who are given the command to rest, what might they think? Well, when the Sabbath day comes, I'm doing absolutely nothing. There's no sacrifice. There's no worship. I'm just doing nothing. And so God has to spell it out for them here. He knows the tendency of the human heart to become lazy. And so he says, no, you're still going to worship me on the Sabbath day. You're still going to offer up those sacrifices to me. And so what we see as we come to the time of Christ, after Israel had been scattered all over the place and there were local synagogues or congregations that had cropped up in different cities, we see that on this Sabbath day, it was a special day for the Jewish people to go into the synagogue and do what? Worship, pray, sing, receive instruction from the Word of God. This was a part of Jewish life, to continue to worship God, or really focus even greater on God on this Sabbath day. It was a day that they would not only rest their bodies, but they would also rekindle their souls as well. Well, how about us? That was then. This is now, right? That was Israel. How about the church? How about the body of Christ? In light of the new covenant, where there is no longer any need for lamb sacrifices and all that stuff, how do we view the Sabbath day? Truth is, it's kind of tricky when you begin to examine it and think about it. But I want to keep in mind those two principles that we see that were for Israel. Even though, yes, we are not Israel, we are not under the old covenant, those two principles of physical rest and spiritual renewal, I believe, should also be a main thing in our lives. Let's first consider physical rest. How do we do that? I realize that we may all be in different places of our lives, and some of you may work at different places, some of you may not, some of you may be in school, and so how does this whole thing of physical rest, how does it work in our lives today? I think of some of you who may have young children at home, and you may be thinking, boy, would I love a day of rest. I mean, I would love a day where I don't have to do the dishes, cook a meal, wipe off the counter, and change the baby's diaper. I mean, that would be great. But let's face it, we know if you went 24 hours without changing that diaper, you would not be, the baby would not be happy, and because of the fumes that would come out, you would not be happy. Everybody in that household would not be happy. Maybe your neighbors would not be happy. It would not be a good thing. We know that there are still certain things that are, quote, necessities that need to be done. We cannot just absolutely do nothing. And so how do we get this physical rest? Well, if you're in that boat where you are raising young children and there's still things that need to be done, and here's the Sabbath day, which as believers, most believers kind of view, take Sunday as our, quote, Sabbath day. That's how we view it because of the early church, how they would worship on the first day of the week. Although there are Christians who would still hold to that Saturday as the Sabbath, what could you do if you're that mom? Well, I would encourage you to try to do all you can on the other 6 days of the week so that you do as little as possible on that Sabbath day. Can what you're doing, can it wait till Monday? Then let it wait. Why? Because you need refreshing. Your body needs refreshing. We all need refreshing. So how do you rest? For others of you, maybe you have that 9-to-5 job, or 8-to-4, or 6-to-6, or 6-to-12, Jeff, or whatever it is you're working there. If you've got that job, is there a day out of the week where you rest, where you don't go to work, you don't go into the office, you don't go into the factory? Is there a day where you're just away from that work environment? It's important to do that. Now, I understand sometimes you don't always have control over that. They may mandate you to be there on certain days, and you just got to do the best you can. But are you making an effort to rest your body, to refrain from work? 1 out of 7, I think that's a good principle. Why? Because we even see in the creation order, the Lord himself said what? I'm resting on the, quote, seventh day. Now, God didn't get tired. He's not like us in that way, but he set a principle for us. 1 out of 7, we need that rest. And it's hard to lay down really any hard, fast rules, I think, because we're all in different places when it comes to the Sabbath day. I think of myself. I know many, the common joke that's made about pastors is what? They only work one day a week, right? I mean, that's it. So for me, and it is labor, by the way, it is labor, but most of my work is not physical, so it's kind of a different labor. But yet, do I take one day and just set it apart as a day of rest? And so if you see me riding like the lawnmower on a Sunday afternoon with the headphones on, listening to praise music, that may be restful for me, okay? So before you point your finger, before we point fingers at each other, it's really something that we need to be convicted of in our own hearts of what is rest for me? Because let's face it, we know ourselves better than anybody else, and God knows us better than we know ourselves. So we need to seek the Lord and say, God, what would honor you? What would benefit me in the area of rest? And ask God to show you that. Another thing I want to touch on when we think about the Sabbath day is when we think about Israel, they were primarily an agricultural type of people. Now, we know they spent those 40 years in the wilderness, but after that generation died off, they would go into the promised land. Remember that? And there would be milk and honey and fruit and all kinds of good stuff. So they would plant, they would reap, they would sow, they would do all these things, and they were really agricultural people. They did that. And so for them, the Sabbath day had to produce some trust in God. What do I mean? Well, think about it. Let's pretend that you are going to harvest your crops. You know they're getting ripe, they're ready to be picked. And let's say it takes about 20 days to do that. And you know that in those 20 days, there may be 2 or 3 Sabbath days that fall in there. And you can't harvest on those days. What are you thinking? What might you be tempted to do on the Sabbath? I'm going to go pick. It's a beautiful sunny day. What if tomorrow's terrible weather and we can't get as much production out there? It had to be a temptation for Israel to just ignore the Sabbath command. And this is what we see as you read the Old Testament. The prophets often came and said, you're neglecting the Sabbath day, which was a command for Israel. You see, for Israel, as they obeyed the Sabbath, It was saying this, God, I know that you're going to provide. I'm trusting in you to provide. Even though, yes, we could get a lot done in this day, I'm going to trust that you're going to provide. And the same is true for you and I today as believers. You know what? When you come here today to corporately worship, you're not at work, are you? And so you're not making any money sitting here. I'm the only guy making money right now. But you're not making any money. I'm the only guy that gets paid to come to church. Isn't that odd? But anyway, all right, enough of that. It's a corporate gathering. It's a time to worship. And so there's a sense where you're trusting God, and you're even actually giving offerings to the Lord. You're giving a portion of your income. That's all should be, God, I'm trusting in you that you're going to provide for me tomorrow. That should be our hearts as well. We need to trust in the Lord. The Apostle Paul knew very well that the Lord would supply his needs. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4:19. He writes to the believers in Philippi and encourages them. And he says this, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Unfortunately, many of the prosperity preachers of our day love to focus on that word riches, and they ignore the word needs. And so they promote greed and selfishness and all these other things out of this verse, but that was not Paul's intent. Because when you read the verses prior to this, Paul says, I know what it was to be in need. And I also know what it is to have plenty. Paul says, I've looked in the fruit basket and it's been overflowing. I've looked in the fruit basket and it's been empty. Paul says, I've often gone without food. I've often been hungry. So Paul often had great needs, but Paul knew this, that God would always come through, that God would always provide, that God would never forsake him. And so Paul could say with confidence, and my God will also supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ. He's a great God. He's able to do that. You just be faithful. You just do what God says. You open the word, you obey it, and you trust him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The final area I want us to consider today is spiritual renewal or spiritual refreshment. This too can be tricky as Christians living under the new covenant. We're not Israel. It can certainly be tricky because it's easy for us as Christians who live in America, who our tradition is what? Sunday is our day of corporate worship. It's just what we've been born into, what we grow up with, what we know, which is a good thing. But there's a tendency to view this refreshment, this spiritual refreshment, as just this little one-hour time slot, right? If I'm here for corporate worship, there's that 1 hour. Maybe if I'm here for Sunday school, there's 2 hours. If I'm a guy and I come to men's group, I just made it 3 hours long. And so I've got this slot, but then the rest of the day, it's all about me. We forget that the original Sabbath was 24 hours long. What are you saying, Pastor? We ought to have a 10 or 12 hour worship service? Maybe we ought to try it. Maybe we ought to do that. I don't know. This is what I'm saying. How much do we seek spiritual renewal, spiritual refreshment on this day? Is it just a little time slot, or is it the whole day where, God, we just wanna draw near to you the whole entire day? And that may look different for each of us. I'm not saying you can't go and your neighbors invite you to a picnic on a Sunday afternoon. You say, no, I'm just gonna read my Bible today because I'm just gonna be renewed. You may want to do that, but you also may want to share the gospel with your neighbor on a Sunday afternoon as well. How we are spiritually refreshed may look different for each of us. Because in our scripture reading today, Jesus made it very clear. Don't be so rigid of your view of the Sabbath that you fail to do good on the Sabbath. You fail to set the captive free. Don't do that either. And so we don't want to fall into that boat as well. The final scripture I want to share today comes out of Romans chapter 12. When we think about how we ought to view the Sabbath day, here's some good words. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, certainly when Paul wrote this to believers, I don't believe he had the Sabbath day in mind. He was talking about a continual lifestyle. People, this is what you need to do every single day. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Find out what the will of God is and seek to walk in that. Live a life that pleases the Lord. This is what Paul would say. But how much better to focus on that on a, quote, Sabbath day, when hopefully we can spend more attention and put more focus on the Lord on this day because we're not working. Now, some of you may be able to do two things at once and think about two, but most of us, it's We're fixed, we're doing something, we're focused on that. And at work, you're probably focused on the task at hand. Today is a day where we can really focus on the Lord. So I'd ask you, are you using this day to be spiritually refreshed, spiritually renewed? If you don't feel refreshed after the Sabbath day, after a Sunday, maybe you just need to look in the mirror and say, God, show me, you know, why is that? Maybe I'm just viewing this Sabbath day as just an hour of time, and so that's all I think of you, and then I just go out the door and do my own thing. Maybe there's just more devotion that God is asking of us, of me. I think about the time I spend when fall comes, watching football games, right? I spend an hour in church, but I can spend 6 hours watching football, no problem. Is God saying, hey, give more of yourself to me. There's a reason why you're dry. There's a reason why you're so empty. Because you're giving so little of yourself to me. I pray that we would just have hearts that would seek the Lord, that would pursue him. And again, not just Sundays, but every day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your command to Israel. And Lord, I know it can be difficult to understand how it applies to we who are in the body of Christ, because Christ is our rest. This was a sign for Israel that they were a covenant people of yours. And so help us, Lord, to just be able to apply this personally, individually, in our own lives. Lord, we know that we may have different views and our conscience may be different, even on this Sabbath day, and how we approach it and how we view it. So, Lord, help us to be people who seek you, who seek to be obedient to your word, and who love you and who follow you, who deny ourselves and offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.